Three, two, one. Today we're going to talk about to appeal or to lead. We're going to talk about, in a linguistic sense, the word parakaleo. It's two words, it's par and akaleo. Paro means to be in the vicinity of. In other words, this thought is made up of two Greek words, but it is one Greek word. To be in the vicinity of, and the second part of it means to call, to console. Many ways it's translated to comfort. And in a sense, it goes much deeper than that, and I want you to grasp that meaning. It is to call someone to oneself. Ultimately, that's what it leads up to. Do you know who you are? Have you ever really found yourself? Do you know what God thinks of you? This within this word, let's break it down just a little more. Para, to be in the vicinity of. Sometimes some of you talk to people that are, they're standing right before you, but spiritually speaking, they're clear in another world. They're not in your vicinity. They're not going to hear you. You're wasting your time, basically. Doesn't hurt to try, but I'm just, you know, you need to analyze and understand why that to call, you have to be very wise about it. And within this, you in the call to be in that vicinity, but basically, as you share, you find yourself. Why? Because if you're calling someone, you're calling through the Word of God. Otherwise, you're talking words of men. And God is absolute. Man goes by precedent, meaning our law is by precedent. If some old judge hung some old boy over here and you did the same thing, you've had it, friend. I mean, by precedent, you're a goner. God is absolute, not according to what this man says or that man says. When God speaks it and when God says it, that's it. That's what it means. And many times in calling to someone, helping someone, within that in the Word you find yourself. And basically, in a linguistic sense, that's what the word means. Is to call someone and finding one's self. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's well worth going into a little bit. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. This same Greek word, if we were in the Septuagint, this Hebrew manuscript would have the same connotation. What you have here is God has corrected Zion and is in that process. And let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 9, chapter 40, the great book of Isaiah. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Now that's the ground you want to stand on when you're studying or anything else. Be aware of God's presence. And have God's presence in your life, or guess what you are? You're kind of treading water, something wrong somewhere, something shorted out. And sooner or later, it's going to get you in trouble. Again, God is absolute. When He promises something, He delivers. There are reasons that He will delay at times, and before we finish this lecture, I'll discuss that with you somewhat. But He always delivers. He is absolute. Man wants to be absolute, but traditions of men will lead you in the ditch. That's where you'll head. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. And of course, that was the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the first advent. Verse 11, this is why we came here. Listen up. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. and shall gently lead. This word lead in the Hebrew means call, to comfort, to take in, to deliver those that are with young, those that try to help young, those that guide the young in what? The young in Christ. Those that try to spread that warning, to call, to comfort, it'll save yourself. And you will find yourself in serving God. You will find yourself in caring. Again, what does that Greek word mean? Be in the vicinity. Now, again, let's break this all the way down. What does it mean? Well, if you're trying to call somebody, do you know about how far your voice will carry? Okay. You've got enough sense to know if somebody's out of hearing, you're not going to try to call them. You may wave and you may stomp, but you're not going to try to call them because you know they can't hear you. So amplify that and take it to the spiritual. There's some people that can't hear you because they're not in your vicinity, spiritually speaking. God is, if you're with Him. He will help you find yourself. Why? He will lead you. How does He do this? Like a shepherd. Do you know how a shepherd does it? You know, a shepherd loves his sheep. I mean, that's really all he's got, is him and his animals. He's in charge and he takes care of them. If something tries to damage one of them, I mean, that hurts. Not only in loss of profit, but because he loves his animals. A shepherd feeds. He doesn't starve. He doesn't mistreat. He doesn't try to drive away. He takes care of the young. He draws them. Does he draw you? And when you call, when you kail, or is it a voice of comfort? Is it a voice that builds up? Is it a voice that is taking, repeating God's word, whereby it not only calls that person, but through the third party, Christ, it calls you as well, and you find yourself, you find your value, and you know that God has His hand upon you. He promises. He didn't say, maybe I will lead you. He said, I will lead you. Well, how does He do that, basically? He sent you this letter whereby you can absorb it. But remember, first you've got to get in the vicinity to communicate. No telephone, okay? You've got to get within hearing when that call is made. So make sure that you weigh the minds of people. Make sure that through spiritual discernment you're able to discern. You can tell whether someone can hear or not. It doesn't take much experience in spiritual discernment to be able to tell eyeball to eyeball, for the eye mirrors the soul. And within the calling, again, when you call someone, you probably will find yourself, oneself, what the true value in life is. He didn't say, maybe I'll lead. He leads. Do you follow? That's the question. When you find yourself, I assure you, you will. Verse 12. What about it? What about our Father? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who's done that? Who could know? He created them. He set the compass, that is to say, the position of the stars. He's absolute. He knows. When He calls, He doesn't send out any miscallings or comforts that are not a true comfort. When you are in His vicinity, when you're in His presence, you hear that call and you know. And within that, you find yourself. What a beauty it is. You call yourself Christian. What does that mean? A Christ man. A man that follows Christ. A child that follows Christ. A woman that follows Christ. It's great. Find yourself. We find ourselves in His Word when we're in His vicinity. Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? Boy, that would be a frightening thought for somebody. You know, can you imagine some preacher say, yes, the Lord calls me every day for advice. Some of them would want you to think that when they play this one-upmanship, but hey, that's totally out of the ballpark, okay? He's not only in the vicinity, He's on a route to another place I know of. Our Father is all-knowing. And do you know what is written in Ezekiel 18, verse 4? He owns all souls. You don't get around to giving Him your soul. Friend, He's got it already. And it's His to judge and do with exactly as He chooses. You don't have anything to say about it. But your actions determine if you have found yourself, whether He is receptive to you or not. It's your choice. You're the one. It, your life and the way you live it is why it's so important that portal, you get in that vicinity and can yeah, that you find yourself. You know who you are. You know what your destiny is, your purpose, and you stand on it, and you stand strong. 14, with whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Our Father is so all-encompassing that we don't have to worry about that, because He is all in all. He knows all. All wisdom comes from God. That's how you find yourself, is in that wisdom of listening to your Father. But, beloved, don't just listen, obey, okay? Find yourself, obey, listen to Him. Let Him know you love Him. Do you understand? That's what He wants from you. He wants your love. And when you find yourself, you will give that love freely to Him, and His blessings will flow upon you. He will lead you. And when He leads you, there is no counsel in the world, no tradition of men that can give you advice compared to your Heavenly Father. Hey, you got to get in the vicinity, though. You might say, well, I don't know if I trust God for hearing me. I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place, friend. God has promised He will always hear. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He hears you, and it shames Him when somebody states something like that to Him. Doubting. Sorry, you haven't found yourself. You're not in the vicinity, and you're a very troubled person, if that would be your line of thought. Doubting. God is absolute. You can count on Him. He promises, and He fulfills. Verse 15 to complete. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. You worry about these little old countries? Don't. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. In other words, be concerned about current events. But don't worry. Don't be anxious. Our Father's in control. And what you have to do, well, how do I know how it's going to end? Read the book. Get in the vicinity. It's all written right here exactly how it's going down. And again, God is absolute. It will happen exactly that way. There's no one can counsel Him or tell Him different. It's going to play out absolute exactly as it is written. And let's go now to, in other words, that promise of God that He will lead, do you claim it in your life, or you just stumble around in the dark? Well, I just wanted to find out what will happen. I bet you did. Without God, I guarantee you what will happen. Follow Him. Let him lead you through his word and in your life. Go with me now to 51 of Isaiah, chapter 51. Parakaleo, paro, be in the vicinity where you are within hearing. Akaleo, give words of comfort and leading to discern, to beseech. And the Father will let you and allow you to find yourself. In this 51st chapter, again, we're coming and approaching the end, and many are going to take the cup of God's wrath. But that's why para had better become very important to you. Let's pick it up with verse 17 of the 51st chapter of the great book of Isaiah. Awake, awake, and stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. You know, I hope you watch current events. I hope you watch the cup. It's not pretty. Not pretty at all. 18. There is none to guide her among the sons. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she has brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. The word guide is here is your key. There's nobody that can beseech her, nobody that can comfort her, nobody that can lead her among human beings. That's why you want to be very careful. Well, I knew this person, I could trust them, and that I could depend on them. And it's good to have friends that you can trust. I'm not knocking that. But you only have one Heavenly Father. And he's the one that gives you advice. Why do you see what is wrong with this statement coming out the gate? God is saying there's not one born human being that is able to stand up and lead. That's why we have the Savior. That's why we have Christ. That's why we have the Son of God that we talk with, that we speak with, that we follow. Why? He's the shepherd. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that allows you to find yourself, whereby you are useful, have a purpose, and are blessed. Because you love him, and he loves you. Para, be in the vicinity. What vicinity? The vicinity of the word, whereby you can hear it. Not one human being. I just wonder why our government officials can't straighten this mess out. Not one human being was able to lead them. But God was there all the time. Father's Word was there all the time. He was willing to lead. And in quite the contrary, in our own nation, there are certain idiots and fools that try to take the name of God out of our nation. To take away the last vestige of freedom and love of Almighty God that we have. I can guarantee you it's not going to happen. And is their day coming? He's going to tell you of it right here. Verse 19. These, not one human being could lead or had the wisdom. These two things are come upon thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction. Following desolation comes destruction. Don't let it happen in your life, my friend. What brings those things on? And the famine. Famine for what? As it is written in Amos, famine for hearing the word of God, the guidance of God, the leadership of God, God's love, God speaking to you. And the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? You know who he wants you to say, don't you? Send Christ. Let the second advent come to pass. Because Christ it is that shall comfort us. Para, get in the vicinity of Christ. Be familiar with him. Be part of him. Let him come into your life. Find yourself. And know who you are. That you have a destiny and a purpose. and that the hourglass is tipped and time is running out. But time to God's own, those that find themselves, never ends, because we are here for an eternity to find peace and happiness with Him, in Him, and through Him. That's what happens when you find yourself, is you have that contentment. Through the Son, Jesus Christ, that's who. 20. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. I'm not going to break that down into current events, or people would say I was picking on certain people and certain religions, and that's not my style, okay? But those that follow God are blessed. I'll only say that. 21. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine, but with the ways of this world and what's happening within it. Thus saith the Lord, thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. You better have him pleading your cause instead of some man. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. God is absolute. That's a promise. Claim it. Open your eyes to what's happening in the world. Find yourself. And know that He wants to lead you, to bless you. That cup of trembling is for the enemy, not you. Take your lips from that cup. Para, be in the vicinity of God and His children. Find yourself. 23, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. You know, many people have had to protect our way of life, or they would have run over us. I've been there and seen a lot of it, and it's not pretty. But I sure would not in my lifetime have been there and done that, even though it's not pretty, so that our children can have peace today in this nation, that they have the opportunity to follow Him, that they have the opportunity to love God, to listen to Him, para, to be in His vicinity, whereby He can reach and touch and guide and lead, that one can find oneself. He is so good to us. What does God want? Don't read over any of that. Does God want you to take that cup? He says, no. I will put it in the hand and the lips to those that offend you, those that are with me, those that love me, those that follow me. For, you see, you are His child and His friend. And anyone that touches you, it's like touching the apple of His eye. You know what the apple of your eye is? It's your pupil. That hurts when someone touches it. Which means what? He won't put up with it. Why? He loves you. He cares because you care, because you love Him. While we're in Isaiah, let's go on to chapter 57. God is absolute. No precedent. God takes care of His own. We have a loving Father. Let's go to the chapter 57. Let's pick it up with verse 13. Again, we have the same thing. There's God's kind of bringing people into remembrance to stop and think. Verse 13 of chapter 57, Isaiah. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. When you cry out, save me and help me, God. God, lead me. Well, if you're not serving God, what do you? He said, let your friends save you. Let somebody else heal you. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity, that's to say fluff, emptiness, shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. I don't know, where is your trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust man? Have you found yourself, Paula, in his presence, his vicinity, whereby he can reach down and comfort you and love you, guide you? I know that you have. And those that overcome put their trust. That trust is a big word. There's no, you know, I myself do not believe there is such a thing as partly believing or trusting. I think it's an all-the-way thing. You either do or you don't. Well, I kind of partly believe. No, you don't. You either believe or you don't. So, you know, I mean, I'm a realist, okay? I found that facing life in the real and handling it is the best way around. I always like to take the hardest thing first. Get that out of the way and everything else just slides along, okay? Gets easier. But when you have him helping you, and it's the evil that you're against, it's like a knife going through hot butter, friend. When he helps us, he's absolute. He gets it done. Okay, verse 13, let's go with 14. And shall say, or shall I say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to give people truth and to help knock some of the rocks out of the road that the little ones don't trip? For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Kind of a crushed spirit at what happens in this world. The things that happen in this world kind of crush your spirit a little bit sometimes. Of course it does. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, those that are crushed by that. He said, I'm going to do that. I don't know. Do you trust him? That's a promise. He means it. Are you in the vicinity? Paul. For I will not contend, that is to say, I'm not going to afflict forever. Neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit shall fail before me in the souls which I have made. In other words, some of them are going to fall because they're in the wrong camp. They've chosen the wrong path. They're not going to make it. Verse 17, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me. This is kind of a mystery. I turned my back on him and was wroth. And he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. That's the way of his mind. With inside, he was kind of corrupt, twisted. 18. I've seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. That is to say, those that reach out, those that ask. That's why it's so important. This is a promise, my dear one. And God is absolute. Do you claim his promises or do you just say that's just a verse in the Bible? It's a lot more than that. It's his promise. It's the love of your Father in the letter that he has written you. 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace. To him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. God intends to reclaim. God intends to restore. That's what this earth age is about, is dividing. Dividing those that would give us trouble in the eternity. Verse 20, But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up or throw up mire and dirt. Excuse me, that's all they can do. You get in the wrong crowd and that's all you're going to get is mire and dirt. Twisting this and twisting that and gossiping here and gossiping there. Talking here and talking there. But never quite arriving at Paro, the place of God, to communicate with Him and to throw that mire and stirred up mess like calves wallowing in a dump. Verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to who? To the wicked. You're not the wicked. And that's a promise from God that He will lead you, He will heal you, He will take care of you. But there's a big if in that. If you love Him, if you trust Him, if you know we're not playing church, this is real, for He is real. And He wants you. Why? You're His child. He loves His children. Paro, be in the vicinity. Be close enough to Him that He can hear you. And you might say, well, He's everywhere. Yeah, He is, but He won't. Did you hear He said, I turned my back? There are certain people, as long as you don't get down where the rubber meets the road and get honest with Him, He's not going to listen to you. You're just a fluff ball trying to play. He can't use people like that. He uses people that can get it done. All right? He blesses people that bless Him. That's the way He is. You might say, well, what does it take to bless Him? Tell Him you love Him. Isn't that tough? Isn't that asking a lot? But He says, that's what I want from you. I want you to tell me that you love me. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Grace is love. Okay, having said that, God is absolute. He promised in that 18th verse, I will lead. I will call. He's not messing around, friend. He will call you. He will touch you. And the unction of your heart will say, I hear Him. I feel the presence of God. I am His. And He can use me. You can feel that and you will know it when that Spirit comes to you and He takes care of His own as they struggle against the wicked. 2 Corinthians, New Testament, verse 12, chapter 12. You might say, well, I thought God was going to take care of everything and we'd all have easy sailing and everything is just going to be lovely. Well, there are times when you've been overblessed that God must slow you down just a little bit. We're going to go here with Paul bearing his soul a little bit. You know, Paul was a bad person to the church in the beginning. He persecuted it really bad. Just as zealous as he was to carry God's word forth, he was just as zealous in the beginning to destroy the church. And Paul, he could never quite forgive himself. He did, but he still hated it. And he mentions it a time or two in his teachings that he regretted having persecuted the church before his conversion on the road to Damascus. And what God did one day, He picked him up and took him to the third heaven. What's the third heaven? Well, there's only three. The first, talking about age, eon in the Greek, right? Talking about ages. The third heavenly age, meaning the eternity. He took him there. Not the same heaven, all three cases, all right? Chapter 12, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will give a version, come to visions and revelations of the Lord. If I said I was taken to the third heaven in person, Paul is saying, it would sound like I was bragging. Okay? I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knew him. In other words, God knows whether I was in the spirit or the flesh. He took me there, such as one caught up to the third heaven. Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He said, there's some about this I don't understand. How that he was caught up into paradise, that's heaven, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. When a person is there, you know everything. Wisdom is rampant. And it just goes on and on. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities, in my weakness I will glory. Because of his love for God. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. No, it didn't make him any more special just because God chose him. All right? And he said, I don't want people to make something big deal out of me being there. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger, or angel, that's what a messenger is, of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God sent this angel of the devil to buffet him, to kind of keep his feet on the ground. Now, many might say, well, that just seems unfair to me. Oh, do you think Satan doesn't send a little angel around to whisper in your ear occasionally? But what do we have to be blessed over? God gave us power over them. So did he, Paul. God wasn't going to remove it for him. Paul had to. Okay? He wasn't going to get rid of him forever, but he was going to keep him cornered. That may sound strange to some, but be that as it may, evil spirits exist. And how they love to chew on God's elect, to mess their family up, to just chew them up and spit them out. No mercy, if you allow it. So God sent this so that Paul wouldn't get the big head. He wanted to make sure. But at the same time, Paul had power to make the devil sit down. Okay, you with me? A lot of people want to say, well, why would God do that? He wrote most of the New Testament because Paul was intelligent. He knew his powers because they were the powers of God. The same powers that you have if you have the faith and the trust. Paul, if you're in the vicinity, if you knew, if you found yourself, that Satan cannot harm you. Here's the word we came here for. This is that same word, parhia. Verse 8, for this thing I besought, it's the word besought, I cried out to the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, many might say, well, why wouldn't God take it away if he cried out thrice? God wanted it there. You know, if God expects much of you, he expects you to handle much. Does that make sense to you? In other words, if you're going to plow his field, he don't want somebody that's going to make one round and quit and say, it's kind of hot out there. If you can't cut it, he can't use you. You got it? God don't like lazy people. That offends some people when I say that, but I like to be truthful. God hates lazy people. Do you know what he calls lazy people? Door hinges. Only to a mattress, not a door. All you can do is flop from one side to the other. That's Proverbs. That's biblical. God wants to be able to use you. So, sometimes he will let something show up in your life to see whether you have the strength, the ability to say, I'm not putting up with this. I don't have to. I'm a child of God. and you put it in its place, you get rid of it. Gone. Why? Para. You're in the vicinity of God and you call upon Him. You know what He'll do? He'll lead you. He likes champions of the people. What did Christ, when old Paul was just, he was a strong man, and here he's asking three times, get this thing off my back. 9. This is what Christ said. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. That I can depend on that power being with me. Do you want that power with you? Have you found yourself? Do you know what life is about? Do you know what God expects from His children? He wants to rest with you. You know what the word rest means? Sabbath. He wants to Sabbath with you. He wants you to be in His vicinity so that He can call you, lead you, comfort you, direct you. And you have the opportunity, what He was saying to Paul, plug into the power and get rid of it. Don't put up with it. I expect to see action on your part, boy. God is absolute. If He gives you authority, He expects you to gently, kindly, and if it fits, to utilize it. Sometimes you got to get a little tough for tough love. But if you love your friends and your people, it's well worth it. So here we see a case where a great leader like Paul cried out three times, help me, God. And God said, I'm not going to do it. My grace, my love is sufficient to carry you through that. I love you enough that I have given you the power. Now handle it. Has He ever said that to you in a sense spiritually? Then handle it. Take care of business. Get it done. Find yourself. You see, you're somebody. You're a child of God. You're not a child of Satan. Act like it. How precious the word. One more place. Philippians. And as soon as I finish this, we're going to quit. We're going to find us a resting spot, okay? In Him. Paul wrote some beautiful letters. He encouraged people. He comforted them. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Do you see how gentle He was? Do you see how caring He is when He wrote to these people? So gentle, so loving. It was a comfort. It was a comfort to them. That's an example set forth for you. Now, watch this verse, verse 2. I beseech. This beseech is the same word, para akio. Be in the vicinity. I'm calling you. I'm instructing you. Euodias. And beseech. There's the word again, two times in one verse. Beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now let me tell you something here. Euodias means fragrant. And Syntyche means with faith. Now, if you had a boy child, would you name him fragrant? I don't think so. And this is feminine. These are two women we're talking to here. Okay? Women have a place in God's Word. They were females. And He said, I want to talk to these two. I want to beseech them. para. I want to make sure they stay in the vicinity and that they call and take the warning of comfort, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. What? In the Word. In the letter. Okay. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other, Clement, of course, is Miles, okay, and other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Nobody can remove them. There's a lot of preachers, you'd think the way they preach, they'd like to. Why, there's a woman, Swan. You know, why is it that they almost think, I don't know, that the word woman is a sin? That is absolutely hypocritical. It's terrible. What is he saying here? These women helped him more in the church than anybody else did. And if you don't, you want a reality check? Step down and look in one of my offices sometime and see who's working. Now, there's some men. And I'm going to tell you something. When this church first started, and there was no payroll, it was all volunteer, I was down there, and all of a sudden I wised off, and I said, we were doing a newsletter or something. And I made some statement about women. And I looked around me all of a sudden, and cold chills ran over me. Because every helper I had in there was a woman. And here I'm sitting up there with this yakety yakking, and I thought, this is not bright. This is not wise at all. That's what Paul is saying here, okay? So I'll just leave that at that. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. What he's telling those women is, come into the vicinity and take the warning. Keep the church. Keep it like it should be. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord's coming. And He is. But, you know, moderation is a great teacher. Always do things in moderation. Don't be one of these that just one little bit of wisdom given to them, and they make a whole religion out of one little piece of wisdom. And that's like you've got an elephant and all you've got is the tail and no elephant. Okay, and you want to make a religion out of it. You can't do that. It won't fly. Okay? It takes the whole Word of God to do. So do things in moderation. Your reputation, moderation. Well, some people say you shouldn't wear jewelry. Women should never wear jewelry. No, what it means is that women, you know, jewelry was what? That was an advertising signboard in the old days. And there were certain jewelry that women wore to advertise the fact they were prostitutes. Okay? That doesn't mean it's wrong for someone to have an earring. A little bit of powder, you know, a little rouge. I'm going to get in trouble. I feel trouble coming. Okay, but I think it makes them look good. Okay, I really do. And it's moderation. Okay, it's fine. Don't you know, you'll get one of these preachers saying, now you don't do this and don't do that and you don't do this and you don't do that. You know, and that's going to win a lot of souls, isn't it? I mean, that's just bound to people race to get into that group, you know, surely. So, we're human beings. We live in the flesh. Do it according to God's Word. Do it in moderation. Okay, verse 6. Be careful of nothing. Now, don't worry about stuff. Okay? Well, I just hate it when I see Christians just worry themselves sick. Okay? Because you shouldn't worry. God's in control. He's going to take care of things, all right, as long as you're doing your part. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you? Have you found yourself? Make your request known to God. Well, did he hear me? Well, how else would you communicate? How else could you call? How else could you beseech? Except through prayer and supplication. He wants to know. Do you know why? He loves you. I know how hard that may be for you to believe that. But he does love you. He truly does. Ask for forgiveness of any sin you might have ever committed. Because that's what he wants. He wants your love. And he's always anxious to forgive. Let your request be known. God is absolute. He's not like a man. He packs the mail. He gets it done. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How could you have a trouble in the world that you couldn't take care of, okay? With his help, with his leading. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, listen carefully now, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or valor, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Take account of them in your life. Verse 9, you know why? Here's the answer. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Don't just talk about it. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity anyway to show it, but it was still there. He knew it. So, when you look up on those things, you're pleasing God. You found yourself. You understand what makes him happy. You understand that in serving him, you're blessed. And what does he want? He wants your love. It doesn't take but a minute to say, Father, in your prayers tonight, say first, Father, I love you because of your promises, the fact that you do come through. Man won't, but you always come through. You mean what you say. You're a rock in the storm that I can get on and know I'm on solid ground and are sure of my salvation, for I have found myself, para, in the vicinity of the Word of God. It's there, my friend. Find yourself in it. It's a beautiful letter that he has written to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Be with us this day. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Okay, Sybil from, so naturally hell's not in the center of the earth because it doesn't exist yet. Just the grave, that's all. Sybil from Florida, where is it written that in a twinkle of his eye we will be changed into our new body? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 2, okay? Kenneth from Missouri, that's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Kenneth from Missouri, in the Bible, God moved men to fight many different wars and battles. Does God still put certain battles in men's hearts to fight even today? Of course he does. Our freedom is priceless. You know, it would be good for every American to have to, I don't want to say to have to suffer combat. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. I've been there, done that. And that's kind of like, you know, hell's right here on earth if you're not careful, okay? And naturally, my mind went to the Chosun Reservoir in North Korea. But our freedoms are valuable, and we have to fight to protect them. They're not free. They didn't just happen. And nations will not just leave you alone because you're there. Look what happened to us in the year of our Lord, 41. I mean, Japan, a little bitty nation, decided they would take us on. What a mistake, okay? The Japanese business people say that Americans don't like to work on the weekend. They found out in World War II, we work weekends real good, okay? Night and day. God, if you don't protect what you've got, you're worse than an infidel. Especially if it's your family's right to worship our Heavenly Father as you choose. Even slavery cannot stop your loving God. But at the same time, He expects that we see we do not get in that condition, that we keep this nation free and to be able to free other people that are in bondage and are being persecuted by dictators, so on and so forth. Freedom is worth fighting for. Always has been, always will be. Hey, I'm out of time. I love you all a bunch because, why? You enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. Most of all, God loves you for it. And understand that it makes God's day when you truly study His Word and seek His will in your life. It does. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, this. Hey, you stay in His Word. You set a little time aside. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that.